Section 1. Georgia's Founding. By the early 1700s, Great Britain had 12 colonies in North America, all located along the East Coast between the Atlantic Ocean and the Appalachian Mountains. In the 1600s, King Charles II had given a large grant for a colony south of Virginia to 8 of his supporters. These proprietors, or owners, thanked the king by naming the colony Carolina. From its beginning, Carolina had 2 separate settlement areas. The north was settled by small farmers moving from Virginia. Further south, planters from the English sugar colony of Barbados had founded Charlestown, now Charleston, and set up plantations in the area around it. The two areas were very different and operated separately for many years. In 1729, the proprietors gave up control of the two areas and made them separate royal colonies under the control of the king. By the late 1720s, no one had settled the part of South Carolina south and west of the Savannah River, which was the dividing line between the Carolinians and the American Indian nations. James Oglethorpe and his associates were not the first Englishmen who had the idea to settle there, but they were the first to turn their vision into a reality. The Charter of 1732 and the Trustee Period. When James Oglethorpe and his fellow trustees, people who hold responsibility and act on behalf of others, asked King George II for a land grant, they presented 3 basic reasons for founding the colony: philanthropy, defense, and economics. Philanthropy is when people give their time, money, or resources to help others without expecting anything in return. Oglethorpe's desire to help the poor and debtors was an example of philanthropy. Oglethorpe and his fellow trustees received the Charter of 1732, which named them the trustees for the establishing of the colony of Georgia in America. The charter was the document that granted the territory to the trustees and set up the rules under which the trust would work. Much of the charter was about how the trust would operate in Great Britain. The charter also stated that the trustees themselves could not make a profit in any way and could not receive any land or money for serving on the trust. The colony of Georgia was a trustee colony, governed by the trustees. This period is referred to as the trustee period. Philanthropy. The colony of Georgia was established as an act of philanthropy that would attract both deserving poor people from England and other Europeans who were persecuted for being Protestants in Catholic areas. The trust members were trying to do a good deed. They would pay for the passage of some colonists to the new colony. Each male who went to Georgia as a charity colonist would receive 50 acres of land to farm, along with tools and a year's supply of food and other necessities from the trust store. However, it is important to note that no one from a debtor's prison was among the original colonists selected to come to Georgia. Defense. Georgia was also established for military defense. By the 1720s, South Carolina was a successful colony, producing a major product that Great Britain wanted, rice. No British people lived south of the Savannah River because they did not want to anger the Spanish living in Florida, who claimed some of that land. If a new colony was settled south of the Savannah River, it would be a buffer or protection between Southern Carolina and the Spanish in Florida. Having colonists in that region would serve as a barrier, making it more difficult for Spain to attack South Carolina. South Carolinians also feared the French and their influence on the American Indians in much of the Mississippi River Valley, the Gulf Coast, and New Orleans. An English colony to the south could serve as an additional barrier and protection for South Carolina's people and their rice crops. Economics. Georgia was also established for economic reasons. The trustees believed that because of its location so far south, the new colony could grow plants that England could not grow and therefore had to buy from other countries. For example, they thought Georgia had a good climate for growing mulberry trees, whose leaves are food for silkworms. They also thought that grapes and olives would grow well in Georgia. This was part of the government's economic policy of mercantilism. The economic goal of mercantilism was to have a favorable balance of trade. This was accomplished when the home country and its colonies produced as much as possible of what it needed and sold any extra or surplus to other countries. This meant that the home country would not have to spend its money buying goods from other countries. The prosperity of the country was more important than the wealth of individual people or parts of the country. Under mercantilism, colonies were expected to help their home countries by providing raw materials for manufacturing. Colonies were then expected to serve as markets for the goods manufactured in the home country. Great Britain would not have to buy silk thread, wine, or olive oil from other countries if Georgia could supply these goods. Authority of the Trustees. The Charter of 1732 granted the trustees the land between the Savannah and Altamaha rivers and all the land between their headwaters, which was the source or spring from which a river first flows, westward to the Pacific Ocean. The colony was named Georgia in honor of King George II. According to the charter, the trust would control the colony for 21 years until 1752. Until then, the trustees had full authority to raise money for philanthropy, grant land to those settling there, make rules and regulations for the colony, establish courts, and maintain a military defense. They never appointed a governor. The trustees mainly used regulations and policies to govern the colony. The trustees banned the sale and use of rum and other strong alcoholic drinks. They believed drinking alcohol led to laziness, disorder, and poor behavior, which would harm the colony. Slavery was not allowed in the colony. Slavery is the practice of owning people as property. The trustees wanted Georgia to be a place where settlers would work their own land and not rely on enslaved labor. Land ownership was limited to prevent the development of large plantations. Land could not be sold, rented, or passed to anyone other than male heirs. This kept families on their land and working it themselves. Savannah, the first settlement. Oglethorpe decided to lead the first settlers himself. In fact, he was the only trustee to visit the colony. The other trustees remained in England, where they made decisions to govern Georgia, raised and donated funds, and supported the Georgia cause in Parliament, Great Britain's legislative body. Unfortunately, the trustees did not understand Georgia's environment very well, and some of their policies made life difficult for the settlers. In November 1732, the ship Anne set sail across the Atlantic Ocean with the first 114 colonists. It arrived in Charlestown, South Carolina, in January 1733. The South Carolina colonists were happy to have the new settlers moving between them and Spanish Florida. The Carolinians donated farm animals, food, and other provisions. They also sent some enslaved people to help with the early work. While the Georgia colonists waited at Port Royal, modern-day Beaufort, South Carolina, Oglethorpe and several other men left to find a good site for the first settlement. They sailed up the Savannah River past several islands. Oglethorpe chose a high bluff known as Yamacraw Bluff, named for the small group of Creek Indians who lived nearby. Being on high ground would give the Georgia colonists a defensive advantage against any enemies coming from the sea. The leader of the Yamacraw people was Tomochichi, who became a good friend to Oglethorpe. The American Indians agreed to give the colony all the land along the coast from the Savannah to the Altamaha as far inland as the tidal waters. Fortunately for the British and the American Indians, John and Mary Musgrove owned a trading post nearby where they did business with South Carolina traders. Both John and Mary had mothers who were Creek Indians and fathers who were British traders. As a result, they spoke both English and the language of Creek. This allowed them to act as interpreters for meetings between Oglethorpe and Tomochichi. After John died in 1735, Mary became the main interpreter. On February 12, 1733, now celebrated as Georgia Day, Oglethorpe brought the settlers to the future site of Savannah. There, they put up tents to live in while they cleared land and set up their town. With the help of South Carolina surveyor William Bull, they laid out the streets and squares of this first Georgia community. The town began with four squares, each with 90 lots on the north and 20 on the south. Each town lot was 60 feet by 90 feet. Each male head of household received 50 acres of land, which included one of these town lots on a square, a garden lot on the edge of town, and a 45-acre farm lot further out from there. Oglethorpe continued to live in a tent while supervising the town's construction. He did not have the official title of governor. However, as the only trustee in Georgia, he was in charge, and the people looked to him for direction. He wrote to the trustees that he was busy looking after 100 things. James Oglethorpe, Tomochichi, and Mary Musgrove. The relationship between James Oglethorpe, Tomochichi, and Mary Musgrove was a partnership based on mutual respect and shared goals. Tomochichi gave Oglethorpe permission to settle on Yamacraw land, which allowed the establishment of Savannah. Tomochichi also acted as a diplomat by helping to maintain peace between the British settlers and the Creek. Mary Musgrove served as Oglethorpe's interpreter. She helped Oglethorpe communicate effectively with American Indian leaders and build alliances. In return for land given by Tomochichi, Oglethorpe agreed to protect his people from their rivals and European powers like Spain. He also gained access to trade opportunities for his community. Mary Musgrove's ability to interpret and understand both Creek and British cultures helped Tomochichi communicate his people's needs and negotiate agreements. As Oglethorpe's interpreter, Mary Musgrove gained influence and trading opportunities. She received land grants as recognition for her service to the colony. Tomochichi's trust in Mary Musgrove enhanced her role as a key mediator, strengthening her position within both Creek and British communities. Defending Georgia. James Oglethorpe became concerned with the colony's defense. He sailed back to England and convinced the British government to pay for the colony's protection, since Georgia was a buffer between Spanish Florida and all the British colonies to the north. When Oglethorpe returned in 1736, he ordered the construction of forts at the northern and southern ends of the colony. The southern fort and town of St. Simon's Island were named Frederica, and the northern fort and town became Augusta. As Augusta grew, it became a center of trade for deerskins and beaver furs with the American Indians. Settlers planned the town with the Chickasaw Indians, who received land in exchange for their assistance. Oglethorpe made Frederica his home and oversaw the building of more forts along the coast. He also organized roads or paths to connect settlements. In 1737, he went to England again to ensure that Parliament would continue to support Georgia against the Spanish. Parliament agreed and sent British troops. Oglethorpe was promoted to the rank of general and commanded the British troops and local militias, a force of citizen soldiers in South Carolina and Georgia. War broke out between Britain and Spain in 1793, which was called the War of Jenkins Ear. Oglethorpe led expeditions into Florida, fighting Spanish forces near the St. John's River. In 1740, he attempted to capture the Spanish town of St. Augustine. Despite initial success in taking smaller forts, his forces failed to take St. Augustine. Spanish reinforcement and bad weather forced him to retreat. In 1742, Spain launched a large invasion of Georgia. Their forces landed on St. Simon's Island and camped at Fort St. Simon's. On July 7th, they tried to attack Fort Frederica, but Oglethorpe's troops pushed them back in the Battle of Bloody Marsh. Using clever tactics, Oglethorpe tricked the Spanish into thinking British reinforcements were coming. The Spanish retreated, burning Fort St. Simon's as they left. This victory ensured that Georgia remained a British colony. After securing Georgia's defense, Oglethorpe returned to England in 1743 and never returned. he continued to support the colony and lived long enough to see Georgia become part of the United States. Before leaving, he thanked Mary Musgrove for her contributions, which continued to shape Georgia's history for years to come.